In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O God, who see how your people faithfully await the feast of the Lord's Nativity, enable us, we pray, to attain the joys of so great a salvation, and to celebrate them always with solemn worship and glad rejoicing, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal places. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's Gospel speaks of the Messiah who's already here, who, as our faith teaches, is like us in all things, but he was conceived by the and incarnate of the Son of God, Christ the Messiah, who came to be present among us to save us all from Satan's power, loving us to the end. He gave his life for us and formed us into his mystical body, the church. Very good. You all are passing. Those of you who aren't saying anything, I can read your minds and I know you got the right answer. Except for you, third row back. The church. The church is the incontrovertible evidence for the joyful hope spoken of in the scriptures. For 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has continued to grow and to spread into every culture and corner of the world. Praise God, eh? Despite this incredible growth, it has kept completely intact the same faith, sacraments, and hierarchical structure that it started with. Any Catholic from any place or time could pick up our catechism, read it, and say, "That's what I believe." Our creed is the same creed prayed by the Emperor Constantine. If we were transported back to the catacombs in the 3rd century, we could go to the Eucharistic celebration there and feel right at home, because we celebrate the same Mass today. Only the languages have changed over time, and non-core elements have evolved. When St. Patrick went to Christianize the pagan Irish in the 400s, it was because the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, had authorized him to do so. Today, our bishop, successor of the apostles, is serving our local church only because he was appointed by that same Bishop of Rome, the Pope. Now, think for a minute about the world we live in and our history. Think of how unlikely this amazing continuity is. What a miracle it really is. If it were merely a human institution, it would be impossible. If it were merely a human institution, long ago, it would have caved under the constant pressure of corruption and cowardice that has plagued it from the time of Judas himself. Amen? We are a broken people in desperate need of a Savior. And even those of us who believe in the Savior have been saved and brought into that divine life and made members of the mystical body of the church through baptism, children of God, we are not always the image and likeness of Christ, are we? The church has had its difficulties over the centuries. Internal wars, scandals, from its beginning until now, because we are not yet and never have been 100% a church made of saints. Amen? We are a church of the broken, in need of a Savior, on the road to the holiness to which we're called. Amen? And so we have tough times. But the miracle in that is that we are still here, exactly as I've said, celebrating what we have celebrated since the time of Christ, adhering to the same teachings, living in the imitation of the same Christ. Now, that is not true for every church that has split off from the Catholic Church. Sadly, in order to keep people in the pews, for some it's easier to get rid of some of the core teachings, to the sadness of God's heart. But in all our trouble, in all our difficulty, we are constantly renewed in Him, because this is both a divine and human reality, just as Christ was divine and human. Amen? And so, as the opening prayer suggested, recognizing our brokenness, Christ must be received more fully into each of our lives. We need to experience the joy of salvation, that power of healing and holiness which Jesus brings into our lives, or can, if we let him. The experience of the joy in salvation can't be limited to special celebrations during the year, or when God is blessing us richly. It must be for us a growing hunger and thirst for such an experience and knowledge of the Lord, and become for us a transformative power wielded by the Holy Spirit in us. But sadly, there are still and have always been many among God's children, those members of the body of Christ, who have not yet experienced the deep and abiding joy of becoming whole in Christ. There is so much, so often, that we hold back from him for all sorts of reasons. For most of us, the transformation into becoming the saints we were created to be takes time. And we are, though the gift has been given us, we have not fanned into flames this gift, and so we are an impatient people. Impatient for the growth of holiness in others. Impatient for God to do what we think God should do. Impatient with ourselves and our own spiritual growth toward that holiness. We need the advice of James in the second reading to be internalized. Be patient. How patiently the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the ground until it has had the autumn rains and the spring rains. We need to be patient with one another, with ourselves, and with God. Patient, but not lazy, not lax. Patient, but not comfortable. Patient, but not presumptuous. Patience that is merciful, but that firmly understands the holiness to which we're called, and that we keep our eyes set like flint on the goal. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus so as to become ready, reformed in love, in his transformative love that makes us ready. We must realize, honestly, who we are and what we need. John the Baptist asked, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" He trusted God's promises, the word spoken through the prophets who came before him, and so he hoped for that time to come when the blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. But as Benedict XVI said, Pope Emeritus, it becomes evident that man has a need of a hope that goes further than ourselves. It becomes clear that only something infinite will suffice for us, something that will always be more than we can attain on our own. We need the greater and lesser hopes that keep us going day by day. But these are not enough without the great hope, which must surpass everything else. This great hope can only be God, who encompasses the whole reality and who can bestow upon us what we ourselves cannot attain. This is why the question of John is so important and is a question that all must eventually ask. Even the children of God, the baptized faithful, as they grow in life, have to come to that encounter and that question for themselves. Are you the Christ? And be affirmed in its answer. In the sacrifice of the Mass, the question asked by John the Baptist is answered again for us. Every day, the question is so important that the Lord built the answer to it in this very celebration. We are those who were once blind and now see. We are those who are still blind and have yet to see. We were the broken, but now walk to him. And we are the broken who still need healing. We are the sick in body and soul who are cleansed and yet still need more. We are the deaf to his living word. And now we listen for the response to that question as the good news is proclaimed to us, ever new in every age. And we receive the greatest answer of all. We receive Christ himself, his body and his blood, his soul and his divinity, in this Eucharist. And this moment of the answer to the question, are you the Christ, is most clearly said and experienced, that joy of our salvation most acutely felt in receiving him in the Eucharist. The Mass is the greatest of all mercies. In the Mass, we look and we listen. We see him on the cross. We feel his love for us. We see him present in the Eucharist. In the Mass, Jesus makes everything his own and takes it up to the Father as heaven and earth are united at this altar. In the Mass, if we allow it, Jesus makes each one of us more and more his own, more ready, freed from venial sins, and empowered for mission. Full, conscious participation in the Eucharistic celebration helps us to become ready, prepared to meet Christ daily and when he comes again. Amen.